Good morning. Let us start in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we thank Thee and praise Thee for this morning, for bringing us to Sunday school. We come before Thee with open hearts to learn of Thy precepts, Thy word and Thy law, that we may know what delights in Thee. And we pray, Lord, that Thou will transform our life, that we may be a delight to Thee, to praise Thee, to thank Thee, and Thou will bless us and love us with Thy great love. So help us, Lord, to be attentive and to understand Thy word. We pray all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Today we are on to lesson 23, the route from Kadesh Barnea. And this is taken from free Bible images. You may access this as well on the website. And so, starting at Numbers, Chapter 20, verse 14 to 21. After the incident of Moses striking the rock, the Israelites were getting ready to move out of Kadesh Barnea. Moses sent a message to Edom to request for passage through their territory. The king of Edom refused to allow the Israelites to Edom. The king of Edom said, "Stay out. If you attempt to enter my land, I will meet you with an army." So let me just show you on the map where they were in Kadesh Barnea. So you look at this map, and Kadesh Barnea is number 32. So let me zoom in. And you can see number 32, where my cursor is, Kadesh Barnea. Yeah, and that's where they returned to after their 40 years wandering in the wilderness. The route they took in along the red route you see on the map. That's the route of the 40-year wandering. And in Kadesh Barnea, what they would do is they have to go up northeast. Yeah, look, Canaan is up here. You see Canaan in the north. So what they wanted to do was from Kadesh Barnea, go east, cut across the green part, which is Edom territory. The green part is all part of the land of Edom. So they have to cut northeast. Look at my cursor again. From Kadesh Barnea, northeast, and go to the King's Highway. You see this route going north? Yeah, it's called the King's Highway. So when they hit the King's Highway, they will continue to go up north until they come to this place. Yeah? And then Abel Shittim. Abel Shittim, they will cross River Jordan to Jericho. So that was their plan. Shortest possible route to go to Canaan. But Edom refused. Yeah. So let me read to you what happened in Edom. Numbers 20, verse 1. In early, then came the children of Israel, even the whole congregation, into the desert of Zin in the first month, and the people abode in Kadesh. So they came back to Kadesh, number 32 in the map. And Miriam died there and was buried there. And there was no water for the congregation. It's verse 14 onwards, yeah? Let us move down to verse 14. And Moses sent messengers from Kadesh unto the king of Edom. Thus saith thy brother Israel, thou knowest all the travail that hath befallen us. So Moses sent a message to king of Edom, and in the message he said, you know your brother Israel, referring to the Israelites and himself. You know the suffering we went through, the suffering that has befallen us. How our fathers went down into Egypt, and we have dwelt in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians vexed us and our fathers. Yeah. So he's giving a history of how suffering came upon them. Jacob's time, since Jacob's time, they went to Egypt, and they were in Egypt a long time, and the Egyptians troubled them and their fathers. Yeah. They became slaves for the Egyptians. And when we cried unto the Lord, he heard our voice and sent an angel and hath brought us forth out of Egypt. And behold, we are in Kadesh, a city in the uttermost of thy border. So Moses, in the message, told king of Edom, God help us to get out of Egypt. And now we are in Kadesh, yeah, at the border of your city. Let us pass, I pray thee, through thy country. We will not pass through the fields or through the vineyards, neither will we drink the water of the wells. We will go by the king's highway. We will not turn to the right hand, nor to the left hand, but until we have passed thy borders. So Moses was very considerate. Yeah, let us pass through your land to get to the king's highway. And when we pass through your land, we are not going to drink your water. We are not going to eat your fruits. We will not turn to the left. We are not going to damage your land when we move. Understandably, yeah, we're talking about around 2 million people. Okay? So it's not an easy feat. And Edom said unto him, verse 18, thou shalt not pass by me, lest I come out against thee with the sword. So very aggressive. You cannot come in, I'll fight you. And the children of Israel said unto him, we will go by the highway, and if I and my cattle drink of thy water, then I will pay for it. I will only, without doing anything else, go through on my feet. So they are willing to pay damage to the land. If they drink the water, they pay for the water, and so on and so forth. And he said, thou shalt not go through. And Edom came out against him with much people and with a strong hand. Thus Edom refused to give Israel passage through his border. Wherefore Israel turned away from him. So that's the background. You see the picture here? The messenger came to the king of Edom, and the king of Edom was very firm in denying passage to the Israelite. Yeah. Even though they were given a lot of leeway, a lot of compensation if they pass through or damage or ate any of their food or drink any of their water, they are willing to pay for it, you know, but king of Edom was refused. Thus Moses planned to move through Edom onto the king's highway and head northwards through Canaan, see map. But the request was rejected by Edom. As a result, Moses and the Israelites had to move south towards the Red Sea and make a U-turn to avoid the land of Edom. So let me show you the map again. So there you go. They were supposed from Kadesh Barnea, number 32, cut northeast across the green part. The green part is Edom's land. And then they reach this little track, this route, heading north, called the King's Highway. And they are supposed to follow that route all the way north until they come to Canaan. But no, Balaam says, you cannot come into my land. Even if you promise to pay, I refuse to allow you to come into my land. So what did they do? From Kadesh Barnea, they went northeast, and they cannot cut into Edom's land. They turned south along the green route until they come to the Red Sea. The Red Sea is, you see, right at the south part. And then they make a big U-turn, go up north again to avoid Edom's land. And no, up north, and then turn east. Why? Because they cannot go into Moab's land. Refused by Moab. And they have to travel north on the on the eastern border of Moab. And then they come to the, and then they turn west again along the Arnon River and then up. And that's where they have to enter the land of Amorite, another tribe of the Canaanites. And then they fought a battle here. So we'll come to that later. So, refuse entry to Edom, refuse entry to Moab. So they have to go by a long route. And God told the Israelites in Deuteronomy chapter 2 verse 5 that they were not to take any of the land of the Edomites. Yeah. God says, no, you cannot touch the land of the Edomite because he has given those land to Edom, the descendants of Esau. You recall the story of Jacob and Esau. Jacob is chosen and they are descendants of the Israelites. Esau have I hated, but God still looked after them, gave them land and much blessing. And so they inherited the land south of Canaan in Seir. And that was the land which the Edom said, you cannot come through. And God says, you cannot conquer that land because I gave that land to the Edomites, Esau's descendants, because they were not chosen. Right? Then we move on, the death of Aaron. Numbers 23 to 29. Then the Lord said to Moses and Aaron at Mount Hor, near the border of the land of Edom, the time has come for Aaron to die, for he shall not enter the land I have given the people of Israel. For the two of you rebelled against my instructions concerning the water at Meribah. Okay, let me show you the map. Where is Mount Hor? So Kadesh Barnea, number 33, is Mount Hor. A little black triangle, that's Mount Hor mountain. And Aaron went up the mountain and then he was promoted to glory in the mountain. Okay? And the reasons were given why he cannot go to the promised land, because the two of you, Aaron and Moses, rebelled against my instructions concerning the water at Meribah, which I talked about last Sunday. Yeah? How Moses disregarded God's, did not trust in God in the provision, in speaking to the rock. He struck the rock twice, thinking that if you strike the rock, there's more likelihood of water coming out of it than just speaking to the rock. So he did not believe in God at that moment. And God told him he did not bring honor to God because he did not believe in God in speaking to the rock. So he was not allowed to go into the promised land. So the two of them rebelled against God's instructions concerning the water at Meribah. And when they reached the summit, Moses removed the priestly garments from Aaron and put them on his son, Eleazar. So Eleazar became the priest after Aaron. And Aaron died on the top of the mountain. So you see this picture is at the foot of the mountain where the people pitched their tents below Mount Hor, and they were all mourning for the passing of Aaron. Then we come to the episode of the king of Arad, chapter 21, verse 1 to 3. And let me read to you what happened here. Chapter 21, verse 1. And when the king Arad, the Canaanite, which dwelt in the south, heard that the Israel came by the way of the spies, then he fought against Israel and took some of them prisoners. And Israel vowed a vow unto the Lord and said, if thou wilt indeed deliver this people into my hand, then I will utterly destroy their cities. So Israelites were first attacked by Arad, near Kadesh Barnea. And a number of Israelites died. And so the Israelites call out to God, if God, you will help them to overcome these people, they will utterly destroy the cities, because these are all Canaanites' people, and God wants to drive them out of Canaan. And so God did what the Israelites requested, and the Lord hearkened to the voice of Israel and delivered up the Canaanites, and they utterly destroyed them and their cities, and he called the name of the place Hormah. So let's look at the map. Where did this happen? So as the Israelites were moving out of Kadesh Barnea, you look at this, it's called the Way of Atharim, northeast route. So the king of Arad thought they were coming up to Arad. Arad is this city. Here you can see the city Arad. All right, you can see the city Arad. And so Arad attacked them first, because thinking that the Israelites is coming to attack them. So Arad attacked the Israelites first, and then with God's help, the Israelites counter-attacked the Arad at this place called Hormah, and defeated Arad. So they took over Arad's land and the city of Arad as well. So God helped the Israelites to overcome the king of Arad. Due to the big U-turn to go around Edom, the Israelites began to murmur against God and to complain against Moses. Why have you brought us out of Egypt? To die in the wilderness, they whined. There's nothing to eat here and nothing to drink, and we hate this insipid manner. So let me read to you verse 1 to 4 of chapter 21. Verse 4 to 6, beg your pardon. And verse 4, and they journeyed from Mount Hor by way of the Red Sea and to compass the land of Edom. So in other words, from Mount Hor, they went south to the Red Sea. Let me show you the map as I read. Mount Hor, number 33, they went south. All the way to the Red Sea. Red Sea is right at the bottom, To compass the land of Edom, to go around the land of Edom. And the soul of the people was much discouraged because of the way. People were frustrated because of the long way, the wastage of effort and time to go around Edom. And the people spake against God and against Moses. Wherefore have ye brought us up out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? For there is no bread, neither is there any water, and our soul loatheth this light bread. Why did you bring us out of Egypt to die in the wilderness? We are now going round Edom. It's wilderness here. There's no bread here. There's no water. And we have this. Manna, which is not tasty. Yeah? We loathe this manna. We hate this light bread, which is manna. And the Lord sent fiery serpents among the people, and they bit the people, and much people of Israel died. So the Lord punished them again for their murmuring and groaning and ungratefulness. Therefore the people came to Moses and said, "We have sinned, for we have spoken against the Lord and against thee. Pray unto the Lord that he take away the serpents from us." And Moses prayed for the people. And the Lord said unto Moses, "Make thee a fiery serpent and set it upon a pole. And it shall come to pass that everyone that is bitten, when he look upon it, shall live." So they are supposed to make a bronze serpent on a pole. Anybody who look at the bronze serpent who was bitten by the poisonous snakes will live. And Moses made a serpent of brass and put it upon a pole, and it came to pass that if a serpent had bitten any man, when he beheld the serpent of brass, he lived. Yeah, so there you go. So you look at this again illustration here. Yeah, right at the bottom, lots of serpents and people were bitten. Yeah. And then the pole made of brass with a serpent there, made of brass. Anyone who were wounded by the serpent looked at the brass pole. Lift. So this is another episode where the people sinned by their murmuring, groaning. God punished them. They repented. God restored them. So let's read on in Judges as well. 11:17. Then Israel sent messengers unto the king of Edom, saying, "Let me, I pray thee, pass through thy land." But the king of Edom would not hearken thereto. And in like manner they sent unto the king of Moab, but he would not consent, and Israel abode in Kadesh. So in Judges, we have a record here that Moses sent messages to both king of Edom and king of Moab. Both kings says no to entering their land. Yeah. Then they went along through the wilderness and compassed the land of Edom and the land of Moab. So because they say no, you can't go through the land, they have to go around the land of Edom and around the land of Moab, and came by the east side of the land of Moab, and pitched on the other side of Arnon, but came not within the border of Moab. For Arnon was the border of Moab. So let's look at the map, yeah? It's easier to understand by looking at the map. So as you can see, they went, compassed the land of Edom, right down south, went up north again to go around the land of Edom. And then, north here is Moab. They cannot cut right through Moab. They have to go to the east part of Moab. Yeah, you see this gray route. So they follow the gray route. And then this is called Arnon River. There's a river here from Dead Sea. Let me enlarge this. There you go. So you can see Arnon River. They pitched their tent on the other side of Arnon. Dibon Gad, yes? Yeah. Arnon River is the northern border of Moab. So they are still on the border of Moab. They didn't go into the land of Moab. Yeah. And What is north of Moab? Amorite country. So they have to ask king of Amorite now for access to their land to go up north. Yeah. So what happened? So this is Israelites' journey. They avoided the land of Edom and Moab, and they moved through all these places. Yeah. And Israel sent messengers unto Sihon, king of Amorites, saying, "Let me pass through thy land. We will not turn into the fields or into the vineyards. We will not drink of the waters of the well. But we will go along by the king's highway until we be past thy borders." So, very similar conditions to Edom and Moab. We'll make as little trouble as possible. We will not eat of your, we will not go into your agricultural land. We will not drink your water. And we will go to the king's highway where there will be very little disturbance to you. And Sihon would not suffer Israel to pass through his border. So Sihon says, King Sihon says, "No, you cannot come through my land." But Sihon gathered all his people together and went out against Israel into the wilderness. And he came to Jahaz and fought against Israel. So what's all this on the map again? So they were at Dibon Gad. North of Dibon Gad, this whole place, Amorite country. Right? So at Dibon Gad, where they pitched a tent, Moses sent message to King Sihon, "Let me pass through your land. I will not make much trouble for you." King Sihon says, "No, you can't." And they came and attacked the Israelites. So there was this battle at Jahaz. Look, this star here is, it shows a battle between King Sihon and the Israelites. And God delivered King Sihon to the Israelites. Yeah. Yeah. So if you look at and let me read on. "And Israel smote him, King Sihon, with the edge of the sword, and possessed his land from Arnon unto Jabbok, even unto the children of Ammon, for the border of the children of Ammon was strong. And Israel took all these cities, and Israel dwelt in all the cities of the Amorites, in Heshbon, and in all the villages thereof." Okay. There's another map which I'd like to show you. This is the river Arnon. And so, I think, well, the Israelites basically pitched their tent along the river Arnon. And then they attacked King Sihon. So all this green bordered land was taken over by the Israelites. They were formerly the Amorites' land. Yeah, you can see green border. That formerly belonged to King Sihon of the Amorites. Because of the battle between King Sihon and Israelites, the Israelites took over the land of King Sihon in green, together with all the cities, Heshbon, blah, 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 all there. And then they went up further north and defeated King Og and took over the land in orange. So up here, Bashan, belonging to King Og, was also taken over by the Israelites. So the land conquered by the Israelites was actually quite big. Yeah, look, from the south, River Arnon, the River Jabbok, up until the border at Mount Hermon. Yes. Okay. So Israel captured all the cities of the Amorites and lived in them, including the city of Heshbon, which had been King Sihon's capital. The Lord told Moses not to fear that the enemy was already conquered. The same thing will happen to King Og as happened to King Sihon at Heshbon, the Lord assured him. So King Og is the king of Bashan, further north. And the Israelites also took over, defeated King Og and took over Bashan. So we come to the spiritual lessons. What do we learn here of Edom's refusal to allow Israelites to enter to their territory? The Edomites and Israelites were relatives. If you look at my chart here, Israelites' ancestor was Jacob. Edomites' ancestor was Esau. And Esau and Jacob were brothers through Isaac. Yeah? So, that makes the Edomites and Israelites relatives, albeit distant relatives, through their ancestor Esau and Jacob, who were brothers. Yeah? So, here you have one relative saying, "Help us, we need to help to get across to the King Highway. I promise to pay for all compensation. Let us pass through your land." And Edom might say, "No, I'm going to fight you if you come in." Yeah? That's how Edomite reacted to Israelites' request. But the Edomites refused to help the Israelites with their passage through their territory. God judged the Edomites in Obadiah, chapter 1, 8 to 10. Let me read to you Obadiah. Chapter 8, verse 8 to 10. "Shall I not in that day, saith the Lord, even destroy the wise men out of Edom, and understanding out of the mount of Esau?" So God is now passing judgment on Edom through prophet Obadiah. "And thy mighty men, O Teman, shall be dismayed." Teman is one of the descendants of Esau. "To the end that every one of the mount of Esau may be cut off by slaughter." So God is going to destroy Esau and his descendants. "For thy violence against thy brother Jacob, shame shall cover thee, and thou shalt be cut off forever." So God actually referred to the violence of the Edomites against Israelites. Yeah? Because they refused passage to their land. So God saw that as a wrong, a sin on the part of the Edomites for refusing the Israelites. So are we also hostile towards others? Examples, not friendly, not helpful, aggressive towards our family members, relatives, friends, colleagues, neighbors, etc., in our speech and action. So, does our speech and conduct show ourselves to be an Edomite? Does that mean that we have to help anyone who needs help? Anybody who comes to me, I must help, because if not, I'm an Edomite. Through this example. Look at Edomite's example. Here you are, somebody really in need of help, because without passing through the land, they're going to make a very big U-turn. Many people will be tired, weary. There are children, babies, old people, old and sick people, all making a longer route. And here the offer is, "Let me just pass through and make as little disturbance to your land as possible. I'll pay, compensate any damage. If we take your water, we'll pay for the water. If we take your food, we pay for the food. No damage to you." They refuse. So, maybe we can look at this as an example, how we can help other people. Yeah. God is not saying, Whenever anyone comes to you, you must help. You cannot turn away. You look at this example. This example is a case where the help is very little in terms of effort and resources on the part of the helper. The helper will be compensated for everything. Yeah? So under those circumstances, the helper refused to help. So it's the same here for our learning, where it is maybe no skin off our nose, so to speak. It's easy for us to help with little effort. Do consider helping. Of course, if you are going to be put into a lot of care, effort, and it really inconvenience you in a practical way, I don't think God will really require that more effort for you to help other people. All depends on the circumstances. Of course, we go to God in prayer. Shall we help this person who is in dire need? And am I in a position to help? Many factors influence. And most of all, I mean, we look at the circumstances in Edom and Israel's case. Yeah. So let's move on. Death of Aaron. The sins of Aaron. Aaron and Moses rebelled against God at the water of Meribah. Aaron led in the making of the golden calf. Aaron and Miriam spoke against Moses for marrying a Cushite woman. Okay? And Aaron would not be allowed to enter Canaan for his sin. And Aaron would die on Mount Hor. So again, we look at ourselves, our own sins, and if we seek God's forgiveness, He will still be faithful to protect us. So let us not put ourselves past all these patriarchs of the faith. They are as human as you and I, they commit similar mistakes and sin as you and I. And we have to learn from their mistakes. So for us, we seek God for forgiveness and repent of our sin. Most importantly is that we must acknowledge our sin. Many a times, even in the past for myself, I tend to rationalize. I have not sinned because I can't do otherwise. This this is what I'm led in the way to do. So we rationalize. The bronze snake, or the brass snake. Again, the Israelites complain and grumble of no water, no bread. You remember, they have to do the U-turn. So they were very tired, weary. And worst of all, you know, they're going by a long, long way instead of a shortcut to the king's highway. So God sent poisonous snakes to bite them. The Israelites cried out to Moses to seek God's forgiveness for their sin against God. God instructed Moses to put up a bronze snake. Whoever looked at the bronze snake would be cured of the snake bites. Similarly, we also sin against God. God will send afflictions to reform us. If we cry out in repentance and seek forgiveness, God will deliver us from our afflictions. Yes? Many a times, afflictions in our life is caused by our own sin. And the reason is because God wants to set us back to the right path. And through the affliction, we will contemplate what's happening. Why is this happening to me, God? In your quiet time, in your prayer, You have this affliction, you pray out to God, help me, cure me of my illness, help me to resolve my conflict with my colleagues, with my boss. My boss is coming after me unreasonably and so harsh. Help me, God. We think of God helping us to overcome our troubles. And then, think further. Why has God put all these troubles in our life? Have I done wrong? And it'll come to your mind. What wrong have we done? Then we seek God's forgiveness and repent. And God will forgive us and deliver us from all affliction. The Amorites refused Israelites' entry into their territory. King Sihon of the Amorites refused entry and attacked the Israelites. God told the Israelites to fight King Sihon and King Og. The Israelites were victorious. Again, the lesson to us is not to be hostile and provocative towards others. Example of being hostile and provocative, using of combative, abusive, being combative and abusive towards our family members, relatives, friends, colleagues, neighbors, etc., in speech and action. Yeah? So, of course, in these days, we don't fight with hands and legs. In those days, King Sihon would resort to the army, sword and weapons to kill each other. Today, our conflict is words. Yeah? We criticize, we badmouth, we character assassinate another person. Yeah. Quarrel, argue. In this day of our life, but it is nonetheless hostile and provocative. And God doesn't want to see us in arguing, combating with our neighbors. And so we have to restrain ourselves. Be kind. Be gracious in your words. Of course, many a times, it comes to mind that why am I combative or speak ill of that person? Because he has provoked me. He said bad things about me. So it's not my fault. You started it, so I'm going to criticize you too. That's usually occasion for us to be combative verbally towards others. But God says, no. Love your enemy. Very difficult. High standard expected of believers. How to love your enemies? So it's with a lot of effort. It doesn't come easily, loving your enemy. We have to put in effort. Why? Because we are by nature sinful, combative, quarrelsome, think ill of others. That's our nature. And to do good, we have to put in effort to do good. To turn away from sin, we have to put in effort to turn away from sin. Yeah? It's so easy to think ill of that person, this person, that person. Why? Because they are bad. And so God says, no, we are all bad, not just them, you too. And we have to forgive one another, accept each other for their faults, and love one another. So what happened to Amorites here is they attacked the Israelites. And God says, destroy them. They provoked you first. They were the ones who attacked you. But of course, here God is telling the Israelites to destroy the Amorites. Yeah? So it's obeying God's command. But for ourselves, yeah, we should not just take this example and destroy all our enemies, like what God commanded the Israelites to destroy King Sihon and King Og. For us, it's Jesus' command to love our enemies. So let us put our effort, soul and mind into obeying God's word, to love one another, to forgive one another. For that is the way of God. Let us end in a word of prayer. Loving Heavenly Father, we praise Thee and thank Thee for Thy loving care and Thy goodness to us. Thou hast protected us, given us good health and strength, peace. Let me pray, Lord, for some of us who may have conflicts, who have relationship problems, who have illnesses, diseases. We pray that Thou will heal them and resolve their conflicts and relationship problems. We pray also that each of us would come before Thee, acknowledging our own sins, our own wrong, seek Thy forgiveness, and more importantly, repent. Turn away from our sins and our weaknesses. Do good. Turn away from evil. Thou knowest how difficult it is for us to do good and turn away from evil. We pray for Thy grace upon us, that we will truly put in effort, remember Thy word, change our behavior to Thy delight, and Thou will bless us and have fellowship with us. We thank Thee all this in Christ's precious name. Amen. Thank you for coming. See you next week.